Open your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. We'll continue our study in this wonderful chapter. Now, tonight, we'll actually be finishing, concluding the second portion of this prayer. Remember, it's broken up into three sections. The first section, our Lord is praying for himself. The second section, our Lord is praying for the apostles and also us in light of some of the things that he said in there. And then in the third section, he's praying for we who would believe, starting in verse 20. So tonight we're going to be going through verse 18 and 19. We won't spend a whole lot of time on verse 18 because we've spent time on the fact that Christ was sent by the Father before, but I will be saying a little bit about that verse. And Christ, we know Christ was sent by God and came to this earth to redeem his people from their sin. How? By the giving of his life, by dying in our room and place on Calvary's cross. So with that, let's read verses 14 to 19 of John chapter 17. The scripture declares, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray that thou shouldest take them out of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now, let's look at verse 18 here. We see our Lord bringing forth the fact, again, that he was sent into this world. And we know he was sent into this world by the Father. And now we see that he sends his apostles into the world as well. Look at verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, again he's speaking to the Father, even so have I also sent them into the world. And let us remember that Christ Jesus our Lord was the great missionary. We don't think about that about him. He's the great missionary, beloved. And we're minor missionaries. We're minor missionaries. We're sent into this world to accomplish the Father's will and purpose. We don't know what that is, but in being here, his will and purpose is accomplished while we're here upon this earth. And we know we're here for the furtherance of the gospel, because Paul talks about that in the section you read this weekend on Sunday, that the very fact that Paul was in prison, he said, I'm in prison for the furtherance of the gospel. And so we know that's true of all believers' lives, that where we are and where we are is for the furtherance of the gospel. Listen to what Calvin brings forth about this verse. He says, he confirms his prayer by another argument, mainly because the calling of Christ and of the apostles is the same calling and is common to both. He says, I now. Notice that. Notice that in verse 18. Even also, or as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. So they're sent like he's sent. And Calvin says, I now, he says, appoint them to an office, which I hitherto held by thy command, by God's command, and therefore it is necessary that they should be furnished with the power of the Spirit, that they may be able to sustain so weighty a charge. So there's no way that we could witness for Christ or be a witness for Christ in this world if it weren't for the Holy Spirit working in us and doing great things within us. And beloved of God, our Redeemer was sent into the world by the Father. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 61. He was sent in to this world to accomplish the full redemption of God's people, of all those who the Father gave him. He was sent into this world. Christ Jesus our Lord was sent into this world to redeem their eternal souls, to purchase their eternal souls, to live the perfect life that they never could, and then to go to Calvary's cross as the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb, and die in their room and place and save them from their sins. And look at this in Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 to 3. This is speaking of Christ. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Look at this. To proclaim liberty to the captives, freedoms to those who are captives. And what were we captive by? Sin. Now we're set free, beloved.
Hallelujah.
We're set free. Now, we're free from the guilt of sin. We're free from the condemnation of sin. We're free from the penalty of sin. Now, we're not free from the presence of sin yet, but that's coming, beloved. That's coming when we go home to be with the Lord. Look at that. To proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. We were so bound up with sin, we couldn't get anywhere. But we're set free, beloved. We're at liberty now. Well, what liberty we have. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all that mourn. Did you mourn over your sin? Do you still mourn over your sin? Yeah, but we get comfort, don't we? We get comfort from the Holy Scriptures. We get comfort from the preaching of the gospel, knowing that our sins are all forgiven in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then it says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes and oil for mourning. The oil of joy for mourning. See, our mourning's been turned into joy now, hasn't it? By the fact that Christ died in our room and place, that he purchased our eternal souls. In the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Oh, we were so weighed down by our sin. But what? We now wear the garments of praise. All our sins are forgiven. We have a full redemption in Christ. There's not one of our sins that's not covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not one. Every one of them is covered by the blood of Christ. Forgiven in Christ Jesus our Lord. Look at this. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness. That's what we are, beloved. Trees of righteousness, planted by the Father. Right? In good ground. In good ground. And it's him that gives the increase, isn't it? God gives the increase. He planted us in righteousness, and he gives the increases. Now, we don't grow in righteousness, right? But we do grow in grace, don't we? We grow in grace, in the knowledge and truth. Look at this. The planting of the Lord. It's his work, beloved. You know why? Well, look at the end of that verse. That he might be glorified. That's it right there. See, we got nothing to glorify in, do we? We got nothing to glory in as believers. Absolutely. Except Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit. We glorify them. We praise them for their mighty, mighty work. I love that verse there. It just gives all the glory. The planting of the Lord from beginning to end. Right? Oh my, that he might be glorified. And then, you know, Christ took not that office of honor unto himself as the high priest. He was sent and ordained by God to accomplish God's will. In Hebrews, turn if you would to Hebrews chapter 5. Look at this. This is wonderful too. Our Lord came. He came into this world to do the will of the Father. He said, nevertheless, not my will be done. Remember in the garden? Not my will be done, but thy will. Thy will. Oh my, look at this. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. And here's our high priest, right? We're reading this prayer in John 17. This is a high priestly prayer. This is the prayer of our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity? And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. So the high priest, he's a sinner just like the people. So he had to offer an offering for himself too as well. But see, Christ, he's the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. He don't have to offer nothing for himself. Nothing at all. He's the only high priest who's sinless and spotless, perfect, absolutely perfect. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself, right, to be made an high priest, but he said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. See, it's the Father that put him in that position. He was sent by the Father to honor the Father. To honor his law, to honor his justice. And he did that. He was subservient to the Father while he was here upon this earth. Now turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Do you know that We have the ministry of reconciliation. That's what we have as God's people. My, oh my. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to 21. I know I have us turning here a little bit, but this is important for us that we are sent. See, Christ was sent into this world. We're sent into this world, beloved. We're sent into this world too. Look at this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to 21. Look at this. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. So the only way we're reconciled to God, this verse says, not by anything we do, right? Does it say by those things you've done? Doesn't say that, does it? It said God reconciled us to himself through Christ. Not by works of righteousness which we've done, nothing that we do. And hath given. Now what has he given us? The ministry of reconciliation. That's why we say flee to Christ. He's the only hope for sinners. The only way for a sinner such as me and such as you to be reconciled to God is only in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Look at this. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Isn't that amazing? Not imputing their trespasses unto them? No, because they were imputed to Christ, weren't they? Oh my goodness. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. That's what you and I are. That's not just the preacher. That's every believer. We're ambassadors for Christ, as though God did besiege you by us. We pray you in Christ's name, be ye reconciled to God. Look at this. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The great transfer. Our sins are imputed to Christ, and his righteousness is imputed to us. It's absolutely amazing. Stunning. Absolutely stunning. Now one more place, John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And this truth again is brought forth in John 20, verses 21 to 23. Where we're going to read 19 to 23. Our Lord appears to the disciples here. He appears to the disciples here after his death. John 19 to 23. And look, we're going to see, he can ascend them. He can ascend them. See, we're sent people, aren't we? Christ was sent into this world. We're sent into the world, beloved. Look at this. John 20, verses 19 to 23. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Now look at that. They're like people like us. They were afraid. They were afraid of what the Jews would do to them. You mean Peter and John and the apostles weren't super Christians? No. They were flesh just like you and I, beloved. It says they were afraid. But look what our Lord says to them. Peace be unto you. Don't be afraid. Right? Remember what he said to them in John 14? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in me? Right? Believe in God also. Don't let your heart be troubled. And so he says here, peace be unto you. They were afraid. And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. And then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them, look at this. Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. There it is. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But look at that. Look at that in verse 21. Then said Jesus unto them, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. Let's go back again to John 17 and read verse 18 again. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so also, so have I also sent them into the world. Look at that. Very similar to what he said over there in John chapter 20, isn't it? Yeah. John 17, verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. So we're sent into this world, beloved. Why doesn't the Lord, as soon as he saves us, take us home? Because he has something for us to do, doesn't he? has nothing to do with our salvation. But the whole reason we're here, there's a cause. It may be to be gathered together in a grace church and your gifts that the Holy Spirit's given you be used. It might just be to support the work and might be just praying for the preacher. I love it when you tell me you're praying for me. That's wonderful. That's music to my ears, beloved. You know, I was talking to a fellow today. I went out for breakfast with a fellow this morning, and I was telling, he was complaining about how churches don't have unity and all this stuff. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, you need to come visit the church where I'm at. And he says, what do you mean? I said, I'll tell you what, I have a family. We love each other in this church. And it's not fake, is it? It's real. It's amazing. And there's true love, true Christian love within this body. And I said, you need to just come and hear the gospel and get to know folks. You know, I don't know if you ever will, but what peace we have. And it's all the Holy Spirit's work, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. And I was telling him that too. He goes, well, do you do an altar call? I said, no, the call's in the message. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, well, I'll give you an example. This weekend I was preaching. I said, whosoever will, let him come. Yeah. God's going to call whom he's going to call. I know that. Right? But the call's in the gospel message. We don't have to do no altar call. The call's in the message. Look to Christ, sinner. That's what this sinner did. Look to Christ with a bunch of sinners here. Oh, my. I know if you do, it's only by God's grace. But still, we're sent out in the world to proclaim this wonderful truth. Be ye reconciled to God. How? In and through the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. Oh, it's wonderful news. Now let's look at verse 19. And we see here that our Lord brings forth that he is set apart for his people. Now think about this. Here's the Lord of glory. Before he's come to this earth, he's covenant with the Father and the Holy Spirit in eternity. And the Father said, I've chosen people for you, in you. And the Holy Spirit said, I'm going to regenerate them and teach them the things of you. And the Lord said, I'm going to go down to that earth. That earth we're going to make. I'm going to go down there to that sin-cursed world. And I'm going to redeem my people, our people, right? Father said, Holy Spirit, redeem our people by the giving of my life. And I'm going to do it voluntarily. And the Father, what? The Father had a body for him, didn't he? Prepared a body for him. And he's set apart. He's set apart from the... Now, he's bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, but he's set apart because he's the sinless one. See, we're born into this world in sin. He didn't have sin. He was perfect. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit of God, born of a virgin. My, oh my. And he says here in his high priestly prayer, remember too, his office. He's speaking here as a mediator, as a high priest. And he says, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now, Christ is here saying, I'm setting myself apart. You remember I said that sanctification or sanctify either means to be made holy, right? Or to be set apart. Can Christ become more holy than he is? No. He's already holy, isn't he? We're going to look at that later. He's already holy. He's God. God cannot become more holy than he is. But when you look at this as he set himself apart, for their sakes I set myself apart, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. My, oh my. Who's the truth? Christ. He's speaking of himself here, beloved. Isn't this wonderful? My, oh my. And look at here. He's in absolute submission to the Father by these words. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself. Is he not in full control here? He's in full control, isn't he? I do this. I sanctify myself. Voluntarily. I set myself apart from my people. That's incredible. And we know from verse 20, that includes you and I, because look what it says, neither I pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's you and I, beloved, 2,000 years later. He's praying for us right here. He's setting himself apart that we might be made holy. And he's unveiling this here by his prayer. Remember, the end was near for that which he came here to do, right? He came here to offer himself up as a sin offering by his perfect, complete, sin-atoning work to save his people from their sins. And that time is drawn nigh, isn't it? Now, does he already know what's going to happen? He's God, isn't he? And the scripture says God knows the end from the beginning. He already knows what's going to happen. As a matter of fact, as you've heard me quote many times, it says he set his face like a flint to Jerusalem. He's unmoving. I must go to the cross. I must redeem my people from their sins. I have to. That's why I'm sent here. And look at these words. He says here, I sanctify myself. Again, this is the language of one that is in perfect control, beloved. This isn't sweet baby Jesus wringing his hands, is it? This isn't him saying, oh, you need to feel sorry for me. I got to go die now. No, he says, I am going to do this. He's in full control. This is one who has perfect control over his own course, his own actions. And he's under no obligation to place himself in the position of having to utter them, but these words, in these words, he doesn't have to utter them because he already knows he's going to do this. This is for you and I, beloved. It's for us to see that he was in absolute submission to the Father's will. He says, I'm going to do this. Now, what would have happened if he had never done this? None of us would be saved, would we? We wouldn't be here. Look at this. Brother Dave, Sister Jill, Vicky, Diane, myself, think of this. Our Lord is telling us here, I set myself apart for you, that you might be made holy. That's what he's telling us. Anyone who's listening who's a believer, put your name in there too. He's in full control. Our Lord did not come to be ministered to, did he? He didn't come in pomp and circumstance, did he? Now, this is the King of the universe. He didn't come in pomp. He was born in a manger. And shepherds knew about his birth because it was revealed to them. He came to give his life for us, beloved. And that's what he's telling us here. I'm setting apart myself for you. And now he's speaking to the Father, right? And he's saying, I'm setting myself apart for those people you gave me. Oh, my. And how's he going to do that? Well, he's going to give his life, eh? As a ransom for the souls of his people by the shedding of his precious, precious blood. And this is the very reason why Christ is precious to us, isn't it? Because he willingly did this. He said, I'm going to sanctify myself for them, that they might be made holy. My, what a Savior. No wonder he's so precious to us. The fact that he was set apart for us. And these words are words of sacrifice, aren't they? And they're brought forth in such a clear manner. No wonder we say, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. We see him saying, I am setting myself apart, that I might save my people from their sins. And we know all our sins were taken and imputed to him, weren't they? And that perfect, spotless righteousness that was his and his alone, right, by his doing and by his dying, is given to you and I, beloved. And we're his jewels, as I've mentioned many times. I was thinking about that again today. We're his diamonds. We're his jewels. Now, think of the value he places upon us by doing this. See, we don't see ourselves as his jewels and his diamonds. But think of what his actions here, how his actions speak volumes. Yeah. The fact that he went to the cross, the fact that he set himself apart to make us holy, that he bore the wrath of God in our room and place. His actions, beloved, scream how much he loves us. We can't even measure this love. It's depthless. Absolutely depthless. And in the profoundest sense, he sanctified himself. He set himself apart for all that the Father gave him. For our cause, beloved. For our cause. He left the glory of heaven for our cause. He undertook this mission for our cause. And it was our interests that he had in view. We get the benefits, don't we? He suffers in our room and place, and all the benefits that come our way. All spiritual blessings in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. And when he undertook this mission, the cause was you and I. The objects of his eternal love. And again, note these words, I sanctify myself. Now these words are not to be understood of him making himself holy, for he was never a sinner. Never a sinner. So he stood in no need of sanctification or to be made holy, because he's already holy. And yet he's bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. Now on the outside, he looked like any other man. He was made in our likeness, and yet without sin. But when people looked upon him, they just saw him. But oh, inside. Remember the tent? Remember the sanctuary in the wilderness? Badger skin. It looked like every other tent. Looked like every other tent. But inside, pure gold, beloved. Pure gold. That's Christ. On the outside, just looks like an ordinary man. Inside, all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily. Oh, my. And what did the religious Pharisees do? They charged him to be a sinner, didn't they? They charged him to be a sinner. And he was treated as such. But he was perfectly holy. He was without sin, beloved. Free from sin. Perfectly holy. He was holy and sinless, infinitely holy as God, the Father, and God, the Holy Spirit. And as a man, he was holy in his conception. He was holy in his birth. He was holy in his life. He was holy in his death. He was holy in his resurrection. And he's holy right now, isn't he? Seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and I, beloved. So this sanctification here in verse 19 cannot be to be made holy. It rather means to be separated, set apart. Set apart, now think of this, set apart for his office as mediator. Set apart as the Messiah. Set apart as the high priest of his people. Set apart as the redeemer of his people. Set apart as the justifier of God's people. Set apart as the sanctifier of God's people. My, oh my. And he's separated by God. Yet it also might be attributed to himself, as he voluntarily devoted himself to this work, didn't he? He said, what did he say when he was a little child, 12 years old? He says, I must be about my father's business. At 12. He wholly, voluntarily devoted himself to the work of the Father. And he cheerfully accepted it. My. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, just a few chapters over from where we are. My, oh my. Look at this in John chapter 10, verses 32 to 41. John chapter 10. This is so brought forth right here. What we're talking about, how he voluntarily devoted himself to the Father's work. He cheerfully accepted it. John 10, starting in verse 32 and going to verse 41. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from the Father, from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? Now the Jews just picked up stones, they were going to stone him. The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou being a man makest thyself God. So they're sitting there, they're saying this. See, they're looking on the outside, aren't they? They just see a man. They do not know that they're talking to the very one who led them, their forefathers, out of the land of Egypt, who was a pillar of fire at night and a cloud during the day, beloved. They have no idea that they're talking to the very one who appeared to Moses in the burning bush, the great I Am. They have no idea. Now he's going to twist them like pretzels. Watch this. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods. If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified. Now look at this. Who the Father has sanctified, he's made holy and he's set apart, right? Who's done it? The Father. Father. And sent into the world, thou blasphemies, because I said I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe me not, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Look at what he just said. Therefore they sought again. What? They got madder than a wet hornet. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. It wasn't his time, was it? It wasn't his time. And went away beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spoke of this man were true. See, John was trumpeting that the Messiah was coming. What does this verse here, this last verse, tell us? Christ is the Messiah. He's the one John spoke of. People were testifying of that. And beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ, he sanctified himself. He set himself apart. You know when he set himself apart? In eternity. Because he's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, beloved. And that which was planned and purposed, again, you keep hearing me say that, but that which was planned and purposed in eternity came to pass in time and space, didn't it? And here is our Lord. Here's our Master. Here's our Master. And he, in verse 19 here, we see him voluntarily offering himself as a sacrifice for the sins of his people. I ask you, and I tell you, what amazing love we see here. I tell you, this is amazing love. This is absolutely amazing love. In this display of these words, when he says, I sanctify myself, and for their, look at that, for their sakes, that's you and I, beloved. And we know that because he mentions us in verse 20. Now, he's talking about disciples there, but verse 20, he mentions you and I, beloved. All right? Look at that. Neither pray I for these alone, being the apostles, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Christ Jesus our Lord, beloved. Let this, now, may we leave through this place tonight with clicking our heels in joy, because we are seeing here that Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, prayed for you and I. He's saying, I set myself apart for you, beloved. You're objects of my eternal love. I'm setting myself apart for them. That's what he said there, didn't he? and for their sakes, for our sakes, that we might be saved, right? If he hadn't done this, we'd still be lost. Because we wouldn't be redeemed. So he set himself apart and went to Calvary's cross and died in our room and place to save us from our sins. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. And remember who he is. Remember the Gadarene demoniac? Remember they said he had all them demons inside him? And they said, "We know who thou art." What did they call him? "Thou Holy One of God." This is the Holy One of God here saying these words. This is not no mere man. This is the Holy One of God. The one who even the devil believes and trembles. He knows who he is. The demons know who he is. They tremble. They tremble. But yet man who were but mere dust say, "Well, I don't believe in him." The devils have more sense than unsaved men. And I can say that because I was there. My, oh my. And he's the Holy One of God. He's the Son of God. He's the Word incarnate. And it is he, Christ Jesus our Lord, who we are sanctified in. He is the sacrifice that has all preeminence. Think of that. All those Old Testament sacrifices could never take away sin, but they were pointing to Christ. He's the preeminent sacrifice, isn't he? He's the one who takes away sin. And beloved, he took away our sins. Hallelujah. He took away our sins by the giving of his life. Oh, what love. Oh, what love. And this is the reason for the efficacy of his sacrifice. It's so great, beloved. And the fact that he's the sinless, spotless Passover lamb, he's the Passover lamb of God. He's the Word of God incarnate. And we see here that he voluntarily says, "I'm going to sanctify myself for them. For these who you've given me. For these and for all those who believe on them, their word." And that belief is on Christ alone, right? True God-given faith has one object, and that's Christ alone. And we see our great king here also in his high priestly office, don't we? He's in his high priestly office here, beloved. He's the only mediator between God and man. The only interceder between God and man. Again, the time of his death is closing. It's coming fast. And the whole reason he'd come to this earth, the time is drawing quickly. The time comes near when he would offer himself up as the great sacrifice for sinners. Oh my. And here he is. He says, "And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." And we clearly see that this present prayer and intercession were part of his high priestly office. He was our high priest even while he was on this earth. And he didn't do this for his sake. He didn't sanctify himself for his sake. He's already holy. He didn't sanctify himself for the angels, did he? No, the angels that fell, they're still in condemnation. No. He didn't do this for all men either, did he? No. But he did this for his disciples as distinct from the world, and not for his disciples only, but for all that the Father had given to him. He was sanctified and set apart. Let's read verses 19 to 21. We see here, he's sanctified, which is set apart as a substitute and surety to die in the room and place of his people. Look at what he says here. "And for their sakes I sanctify myself." Look at that. I still can't get over that. That's just amazing. "That they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also." That's all of us, beloved. For them. Look, he already knows us. He already knows us, beloved. We're not even born. "And for them also which shall believe on me through their word." Now, does that not give us hope as the gospel is preached and proclaimed and it goes out in the world? It's not going to return to the Lord void, is it? No, it's going to accomplish what he wills. And look at this. What? That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me. Yeah. And I in thee, that they also might be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. We are the body of Christ, beloved. He's the head and we're the body. And note at the latter part of verse 19 of our text here, it says, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. So the latter part of this verse says that they might be sanctified through the truth. We know he's speaking of the apostles here. Again, in verse 20, he's speaking of all who will believe on their word. And we know he's talking about all the elect of all the ages, right? Even including those who were before who looked to the Messiah in the Old Testament, because they're all the elect too of God. But look at this. The one who is called the way, the truth, and the life, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, right? One of his titles is the truth, right? And look what it says here, that they also might be sanctified through who? The truth. The truth. What's the Lord Jesus Christ? He's the truth. And that they might be sanctified through the truth. How are we made holy? Through he is called the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not sanctified by anything we do or say or how we act. No. They also might be sanctified through the truth. That is, that they might have all their sins atoned for. All of them, every single one of them, not one left behind. That they might be cleansed from all the guilt and filth of their sins. How? Through Christ and himself and his sacrifice. Who is the truth? He's the truth, beloved. Really and truly, in opposition to the legal sacrifices. So the legal sacrifices could never take away sin. And here's Christ saying, I'm going to sanctify myself for these you've given me. And they're going to have all their sins cleansed. And they're going to be made holy through me. My. All those Old Testament sacrifices could never take away sin, right? And here's the preeminent sacrifice. The only one who can take away the sins of God's people. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, God incarnate in the flesh. And only through the Lord Jesus Christ can sinners be forgiven. And we sinners hear about this wonderful truth as the Holy Spirit of God regenerates us, right? We receive this truth then after we're born again, and God gives us an understanding of the truth. He gives us faith to believe on Christ, and then he gives us an understanding of the scriptures, the truth. And we learn about the good news of the atonement by the blood and sacrifice of Christ, and the Holy Spirit seals our conscience, doesn't he? To this fact that we're washed in the precious blood of Christ. And then what happens? Well, we have comfort and joy then, don't we? Because of this precious truth of all our sins forgiven, the fact that Christ sanctified himself, he set himself apart that we might be made holy. So Christ is bringing forth in this verse the truth that he's setting himself apart as a sacrifice for our sin, which is well-pleasing and acceptable to God, right? God will only accept the sacrifice of Christ. No other sacrifice. We see that pictured in Cain and Abel, right? Cain bought the sacrifice of his hands, his own works, and Abel bought the proper sacrifice, the lamb, which pictured the Lord Jesus Christ. And Abel was saying, I can't save myself. But this sacrifice pictures my Messiah. Pictures the one who's going to bleed and die for my sins. My, oh my. And only through Christ, again, can sinners be forgiven. There's no other way. No other way. And Christ set himself apart that we might be made acceptable to God in and through Christ Jesus our Lord, that we might be made holy. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 1. This truth is brought forth in the book of Ephesians in chapter 1. This precious, precious truth is brought forth very, very clearly in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. Who hath blessed us with A-L-L. All spiritual blessings. Where? In Christ. In heavenly places. In Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him. Well, say, that's pretty clear, isn't it? God chose us in who? In Christ. When? Before the foundation of the world. That we should be, now there's a purpose to it, right? That we should be holy. Who are we holy in? Christ and him alone. And without blame before him in love. Who are we without blame before God the Father in love? In Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that so wonderful? That's wonderful. It gets even better though. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of whose will? His will. God's will. Not mine. Because you know what our will? We never would have come to Christ in our natural state. But according to his will, that's the best news I've heard. Since I heard, Scott Richardson, since I heard the good news, I never heard any more bad news. I like that. Oh my. Look at this. To the praise of the glory of his grace. That's what we looked at on Sunday, right? Bless the Lord, oh my soul. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Wherein he, God did this. Man doesn't do this. This is something God's done. Wherein he hath made us accepted in who? The beloved. Who's the beloved? That's Christ. In whom, oh, we have redemption. Through his blood, the giving of his life. And look at this, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Riches. Amen. Freedom, brother. Oh, what freedom. Do you know that the Father sanctified us in divine election, and the Son sanctified us by his sacrifice? And the Holy Spirit sanctified us in regeneration, in calling and in belief of the truth. Remember what he is offering. Christ is offering up himself. The high priest is offering up himself. And think of this, when he was on Calvary's cross, he's the high priest. He's the offering. He's the altar. He's the sacrifice. And it's his blood that redeems us from our sins. One commentator said, this was his mission from the womb to the tomb, to save his people from their sins. And beloved, at his death, the Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, think of this. He was roasted in the fire of God's wrath. Remember, they were to roast up the whole thing? He was roasted in the fire of God's wrath. Why? That we might be partakers of his holiness. That we might be set apart. That we might be made holy in Christ. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So let us leave here tonight, beloved of God, in awe and wonder that you and I, God's elect, sinners who trust the Lord Jesus Christ, are the special objects of all that the Lord Jesus Christ came to do. And we can tell here that we were on his mind. With these words, neither pray I for those alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's you and I, beloved. And let us leave here rejoicing. In verse 19, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. The Son of God set himself apart to be a sin offering, that we might be sanctified, that we might be made holy, by the hearing and believing of the gospel, by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. You know, our sanctification is threefold. We who are the born-again, blood-washed saints of God are sanctified by God the Father in election. Jude says this, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. We who are the born-again, blood-washed saints of God are sanctified by the Son in redemption. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and so Theseus, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. My, oh my, called to be saints, with all that in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And we who are the born again, blood washed saints of God are sanctified by the Holy Spirit of God in regeneration. The Holy Spirit of God through the instrumentality of the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Again, our sanctification, beloved, is of the Lord. Just as our salvation is of the Lord. It's all Him. It's all Him. Our salvation is of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Glory to His name. Amen and amen.